It's a lot of information. If you get anything out of that, you got to realize that God is extremely specific with how He wants to be worshipped and how He wants to be come to. One of the things we talked about this with the kids, the bronze laver. The bronze laver, or the bronze wash basin, sat right outside of this tabernacle. And each of the priests had to wash their hands and their feet before they came in. And we talked with the children about how that's a picture of when we come before the Lord and we come to worship Him, we need to be clean. We need to have our sins confessed to Him. We need to make sure that our heart is right so that we can come into His presence and see and experience that time of worship with Him. Did you see the pomegranates and the bells and the importance of those things and the ephod and the jewels and the engraving on the stones, all the specific details associated with that? God's a very detailed kind of God. He's very specific about the way that He does things. We need to understand that. Now, we've been studying the book of Romans for several weeks, for several months, actually. So what does all this stuff have to do with Romans? Well, it actually does have something to do with Romans. And I'm going to explain that. Wonderful tool. Great teaching tool. We went all the way through the end of Romans, or through Exodus chapter 30. And very interesting, the very first verse of chapter 31 is a bridge that God has there, that I think, for us to take a look at what happened here and the purposes behind this, to then go over and look at a couple of verses in Romans chapter 12 and understand really a preface to what we're going to be talking about as we go forward in Romans. All these things that had to be done required skillful workers, people who had talents and abilities. So I want to read just the beginning here in chapter 31 of Exodus, starting with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for the work of in gold and silver and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful I have put skill, that they may make all that I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat upon it, and all of the furniture of the tent, the table also and its utensils, and the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering also with its utensils, and the laver and its stand, the woven garments as well, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons with which to carry on the priesthood, the anointing oil also, and the fragrant incense for the holy place, that are to make them according to all I have commanded you." One of the things that God continued to repeat to Moses, make sure that you make it exactly like I commanded you on the mountain. Exactly like the design. How many times? These pieces of fabric must be exactly the same. And we could camp for years looking at the rich symbology and the pictures of things that are in that tabernacle. The reason why it is the way that it is. We're not going to do that today. Or we're not going to do that for the next few years. But we could do that. God is so deep and He is so specific, and there's so many reasons for that. But what's interesting is every single one of these things, this altar of incense or this Ark of the Covenant, would have had to have been made by skillful people. Imagine the skills necessary. Imagine this big chess piece and how giant these jewels are. The guys that cut gems are very careful about cutting a little jewel to go on your ring. Imagine the responsibility of cutting a jewel the size of that on a chess piece. God said He poured His Spirit into them to give them the ability to do these things. And I think that's very interesting, because as we look in Romans chapter 12, go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 12. Last week we talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2. Presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. And we talked about taking off the old man first, renewing our minds, and then putting on the new man. Well, as we go forward in Romans, there's some things. If you're going to get everything out of Romans that God intends you to get out of Romans, then it is important that you do those things. It's important that, like we said last week, you take off the old man, which is full of sin. This is after belief. You've believed in Christ. You take off the old man, your mind is renewed, and then you put on the new man, and you begin to grow in your maturity as a Christian. You can't grow in maturity as a Christian while you're still engaging in sin in the old man. That's never God's plan. His plan was to take off the old, renew your mind, and put on the new. Well, if you're going to get everything that God wants you to get out of the book of Romans, then you need to do that. That's between you and the Lord. I can't make that decision for you. I can only tell you what the Word of God says. Beginning in verse 3, I want us to look at a few verses here, and we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians and look around a little bit. But it says, "Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." We talked last week about the importance of us as Christians becoming like Christ. And as we do that, we're growing up as one body together into the head, which is Christ. And Paul is going to go forward, and I'm not going to read any more in Romans, but as we'll go forward in the weeks ahead, this chapter is probably the most chock full of information on spiritual gifts in all the Bible. And here we see that the Lord poured out into Aholiab, into other people, the gifts and skills and abilities to be able to do the work of craftsmanship to build this tabernacle for the Lord. In the same way, God pours out His Holy Spirit and gives gifts to men so that they are able to work together in the body of Christ to build one another up, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, so that we can become like Christ is, or like He walked as He was on this earth. That's the holy walk that God wants for us to have. And so He has given us His Spirit to enable each of us to do certain things. And some of you may know what your gifts are, some of you may not. Some people don't put a lot of stock in spiritual gift tests and those kind of things. But it's kind of interesting when you begin to look at some of the characteristics that are there. I mean, when you begin to look at this specific gift, and there's gifts of a person, they call a gift of prophecy. Well, now, in the New Testament, there were specifically prophets. And I mean like a prophet like Elijah. There were guys that heard the word of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and they came and spoke words of prophecy. Guys that came down from Antioch that came and told Paul, you're going to be taken into captivity. There's one that came down and said that there was going to be a great drought in the land. Now, these were prophets. And in terms of the acting office of prophet, that's what a prophet was. But some people have the ability to speak the word just black and white the way God says it. And it comes off kind of, it can be abrasive, but it's just plain the way that they see it. They see it the way God wrote it. And so there's gifts of prophecy. There are gifts of administration, the ability to coordinate, organize people. There's gifts of service. There's gifts of giving. And there are many, many gifts that are laid out here. There are actually seven gifts that are laid out here in this chapter that we're going to be looking at in the weeks ahead. And we're going to need you'll see yourself in one of these places. And what I want to do is I want to encourage you, number one, take off the old man, renew your mind, and get ready, if you haven't begun to put on the new man, to do so, in terms of putting on the characteristics that Christ exhibited when He walked here on this earth. That's number one. Number two, I want you to have an open heart for what God's going to reveal to you about your own life. He has very specific plans for you. He has given you gifts and talents and skills and ability that are designed to work within the body of Christ. A lot of times in a lot of churches, people go and they just sit and they don't get involved. And while they don't want to feel the pressure of all the work that's there to be had, to be done, and they feel like, don't put that, I'm just going to sit here and just enjoy this, they rob themselves and they rob others of the time with them, of the experience, the investing. They may have a special gift and ability that benefits another person. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to look at this. So there's a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 are the other chapters, as well as Ephesians chapter 4, that are loaded with spiritual gift information. So I want us to look at a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that will give us an idea of why these gifts are important for one another. Starting in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable." Let's stop there for a second. Imagine a foot, okay? a foot, it's hidden in a shoe or covered by a sock. They don't smell nice. They're not, say, as beautiful a member as a face. When you were searching for a bride or for a groom in your life, that special someone, chances are that you didn't inspect their feet first. The feet were something that came on later, and if they were really especially ugly, just don't wear open-toed sandals and we'll be okay. So the key is the foot is a less honorable member. Could you get along without feet? You need your feet. Feet are very important members. And so while they may not be as presentable, they're still very valuable. And so what he's saying here is, as members of the body of Christ, some may be a thumb, others may be an eye, some may be ears, others a tongue. God gives that picture so that we can understand that we all play specific roles within the body of Christ. And we're supposed to fulfill those roles so that everyone works together and is able to grow into what God wants them to go. So let's continue with verse 24. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, the members all rejoice with it. So if you have a beautiful face and you have ugly feet, okay, well then you need to give more honor to that foot so that it knows that it's an important part of that body. Because it has its function, minor as it may be. Although if you've ever walked without feet, you'd know it's a major need. And God has intentions for each one of you to play a key role in the body of Christ. He's given everyone gifts and abilities. And I want to challenge you over the weeks ahead to really look within your heart, hear the word of the Lord, and know exactly what His plans are for you, and be involved. I don't want to put any pressures on anyone to do something other than just Sunday morning. Don't feel the pressure. Don't feel that I'm putting any pressure on you. But when you're not fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ, you lose out, and they lose out. God's plan is for us to fellowship with one another, to enjoy each other's fellowship, and to grow each other, encourage one another into the likeness of Christ. That won't happen on an island by yourself. We've got to do it together. And so I want to encourage you, taking a look at the great skill and craftsmanship that went into preparing these items, among many items that God had for the tabernacle and all of the specific instructions, and seeing that He's poured His Holy Spirit out and He's given specific gifts and abilities to every one of you, I want to encourage you to be involved in each other's lives, to get closer to one another, spend time getting to know one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and let the Lord show you in the weeks ahead where your gifts are. Maybe you know. Maybe you don't. But in the weeks ahead, I hope that the Holy Spirit will use this time on Sunday mornings to really reveal to you what those gifts are and how your function is within the body of Christ. Loving one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, and becoming more like Christ. I'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank You for this time today in Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the specific instructions that You lay out for us. I thank You for the walk of Christ and how specific and obvious it was and how very many clues and keys are there, Lord, if we'll only obey You and we'll only follow You, put to work in our lives what You show before us. I thank You for the clarity of the Holy Spirit and His teaching and our ability to understand Your truth from Your heart revealed by Your Spirit. And He alone is our teacher. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, for the impact that You have on us as we yield ourselves to You and we open ourselves up to studying Your Word. I thank You that Your goal for us is to be entirely sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, and that Your desire for us is to walk as Your Son walked and be pleasing to You, well-pleasing, before we come to You. And I pray that You'd be with these people this week, that You would guard their hearts, Lord, You'd guard their walk. And I pray, Lord, that You just bless them in a great way and that they would have a desire, a hunger, Lord, to gain closer relationships with one another, even those that are in their lives, Father, that are other Christians, people within their workplace, people within their neighborhood, that they would seek out other Christians, Lord, to build that bond of unity, to draw close to one another, to encourage one another, Lord, to strengthen one another, because we will stand stronger against the enemy together than we will individually. And I pray, Lord, that would be our heart and our desire, and that we would grow in the love of Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.